The message that I would like to share with you all this evening comes from Luke chapter 7, between verses 37 to 42, the famous passage about judge not. So as you open up to your Bible, please do remember that this is the very infallible Word of God. Luke chapter 6, beginning from verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Congregation, let us now bow and come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, as we come before you this evening, help us to remove not just the specks from our eyes or the logs, but also remove any hindrance or distraction from our heart so that we may fully focus upon you and see you clearly. Father, may your Spirit help us to see the deep and hidden things behind this passage. Help us also to see how our life is written within this passage. And may your Spirit also help this weak and broken vessel to clearly expound your faithful word. We give you thanks, and we pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved congregation, do you know that we judge others every day? We live in a world that presents us with so much information that we can't help but to judge the things that we see. For example, we may connect to the internet one day. Yes, I came from the era where you need to connect to the internet. It's not just always there. You may connect to the internet one day, and suddenly your social media page presents you with a photo of an old high school friend of yours, an old high school friend whom you have lost touch with. But in the photo, you see him napping on the beach in a hammock that's hung between two coconut trees, just like those Instagram photos. And in a split second, you have made many judgments about this long-lost high school classmate of yours. You look at that photo, and you say, is that public beach, or is that private beach? Oh, this appeared to be one of those fancy beach resorts that I've seen on the internet. Wait, how did he do that? He must have a good-paying job. And he must not have any kids, or else he couldn't travel. But how did he do that, though? He didn't have any good grades, so he couldn't get any good job. This must be family wealth. He must be from a rich family. Oh, life is just so not fair. Why can't I have that? You see my point? Even when we don't think of ourselves as judgmental individuals, we can't help but to make instinctive judgments upon the things that we see. Now, what does this have to do with the passage that's before us this evening? Well, in this passage, Jesus commands his disciples to judge not. He issues this command because passing judgment on others is inconsistent with the kingdom of God. Just as the previous passage requires us to love our enemy in light of Jesus' love and his kingdom, this passage reveals to us that we are not to judge because Jesus did not judge us, and he has brought us into a kingdom that does not pass any judgment. So if we judge others, it will show that we are blind to the nature of this kingdom of Jesus, and we are blind to his gospel. Well, the power of the passage, of this famous passage that is before us this evening, is not only that it provides us with a simple and clear command, but it also has provided us with clear illustrations that really drives home the point that we are not to judge others. And this evening, we will consider this command to judge not, to refrain from judgment, from two different angles. First, we are not to judge others because passing judgment is blindness. And secondly, we are not to pass judgment because we are forgiven by Jesus. And let us consider the first point. We can't pass judgment on others because it is blindness. Well, to see the clear relationship between passing judgment and blindness, we must first define what is the judgment that Jesus has in mind in verse 37. This passage that's before us confronts us with a dilemma because here Jesus commands us, judge not, to refrain from judgment. But elsewhere in the Bible, he commands his disciples to judge correctly. Furthermore, we know of many people who uses this verse, verse 37, to mean that you can make discernments regarding their sinful lives. They would take this verse as a shield to deflect all our discernments and use it against us. They would say, well, why are you calling me a sinner? Aren't you Christians? Haven't you read your Bible? For even I know it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Judge not. So what exactly are the judgment that we are to refrain from? And what exactly are the judgment that we are able to make? Well, first, from the scripture, it's clear to us that we are able to make the judgments of discernment. For example, in the next chapter of Luke, in Luke chapter 7, verse 43, Jesus would ask a Pharisee named Simon a question that required his discernment. And when Simon answered that question correctly, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you have judged correctly. Luke 7, verse 43. Simon, the Pharisee, made a discerning judgment on what is right versus what is wrong. And in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus encouraged everyone to practice discernment when he said, do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. And the right judgment is, of course, based upon God's word, which is the truth which that brings clarity to all things. And as Christians, we need to be able to discern right from wrong. For the scripture itself is full of cases where discernment based upon God's word is needed by his people. And Jesus would even command his disciples to confront others of their sins in Matthew 18. And that requires a great deal of discerning judgments. On the other hand, what kind of judgment are we to avoid? We are to avoid the judgment of condemnation, which includes at least four variants. This judgment of condemnation is the hasty judgments. The scripture commands us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James 1, verse 19. But in our sinful nature, we are quick to pass judgment on others. For example, when we see someone coming into the church late, our mind immediately labels them as bad Christians before we realize, oh wait, we have to be gracious. We have to consider their circumstances. And secondly, we are also to refrain from those put down judgments, which is the judgment that we do, which is when we judge other people to justify ourselves. A classical example of this would be the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collectors. And in that parable, we see that the Pharisee despised the tax collector for the purpose of propping himself up before God. And we are to refrain from judging others to prop ourselves up, because such action is not building one another up in love. And thirdly, we are also to refrain from jealous judgments. And an example of this would be Judas Iscariot, who judged Mary to be wasteful when she anointed Jesus' feet with expensive ointment that's worth up to 300 denarii. That's 300 days of wage. We, as Christians, are not to covet our neighbor's wealth. We are not to judge them as unfaithful Christians and doubt their source of income simply because the Lord has blessed them abundantly in their finances. And lastly, we are to avoid vengeful judgments. This is when we hold a grudge against another person for hurting our feelings or sinning against us. Which, when we have this kind of vengeful judgment, we will vow to never forgive them and condemn them for all the good things they do. Even if they do good things, we still view them negatively. So those are the judgments of condemnation. And when a person passes these judgments of condemnation upon another person, he shows that he is blind to the kingdom of God. Jesus calls such a person a blind man who is unfit to lead another person. In verse 39, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Can you imagine if you are blind and you needed help crossing the street, but the only people who were available to help you are fellow blind men? At that time, would you be confident crossing the street, or would you wait a little bit longer? In verse 41, Jesus also says that those who judge others are so blind that they see the specks that's in their brother's eye, but do not notice the log, the huge log that's in their own eye. They are called blind men because they are blind to the kingdom of God. The kingdom which Jesus has brought is an invisible spiritual kingdom, and we cannot see it with our own eyes. But we know from the scripture that Jesus has come and granted spiritual visions to this kingdom. Through the pardoning of sin and the healing of illnesses, the mercy and forgiveness of the kingdom of God was manifested for all to see. And through our faith in him, Jesus regenerates us by his Holy Spirit and opens up our spiritual eyes to see this invisible reality. A key sign that we have seen the invisible kingdom is when our eyes are opened to our own sinful condition. Or as the Westminster Confession would put it, when our sight and senses are aware of the filthiness and odiousness of our sins. That our eyes are open to the degree that we see sin so clearly, that we see its ugliness, that we feel its disgusting nature, and we ourselves are repulsed by our own sin. And the loving and forgiving and merciful and gracious nature of the kingdom of God would make our sin even more striking and vivid in comparison. Therefore, we are not to judge others, It is not just the reality of the kingdom of God that we are blind to when we judge others, but we are also blind to our own sins. When we judge others, we are like a photographer who take a fancy camera and put a high power lens onto it, and we zoom in on the stains on a person's shirt, when behind the camera, our own photographer's vest is filled and covered with mud. As sinners, we like to put other people's sins under a microscope and zoom in with 100 power to see it at molecular level. But we want others to behold our sins far away through a telescope that they can barely see our sins at all. Instead of judging others, what we should be doing instead, according to our passage, is that we should be examining ourselves. We need to make sure that we have repented of our sins before we come and admonish other people. As Jesus said in verse 42, first, take the log out of your own eyes. We should be like the psalmist of Psalm 139 who humbly pleaded to the Lord, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So why is it important for us to know tonight that judging others is blindness to the kingdom of God and blindness to our own sin? This is important for us to know because passing judgment isn't just the things we do. Instead, it's a mode of living. It's a way of life. Believers, we are filled with the Spirit of Christ, and we are enabled to exercise discernment through God's Word. And if we are not doing that, then we are basing our discernment upon the sinful values of this world, and we view others through a blind, sinful perspective. If we do not use God's value, God's Word, then we use the world's values. We identify people by their job, whether they are an engineer or a janitor. We identify people by the car they drive, whether they drive a Cadillac or a Kia. And we identify people by where they shop, Walmart or Target, and all other worldly categories before we even identify them as a Christian. Our blindness would cause us not to see the forgiving and loving nature of God's kingdom. And in our blindness, we would pass judgment to put down others and prop ourselves up. Truly, we need to consider, have we been blind to the fact that we belong in the loving and forgiving kingdom of God through Christ? And have we forgotten to love and forgive one another? How long have we been holding a grudge against a brother in Christ who has offended us? Perhaps this might even be someone whom you vow to love, but you just can't forgive him for the great amount of mistakes he has made. And when was the last time we noticed things which other church members can improve upon? Perhaps even the things that the church itself could be better at. But when was the last time we have examined ourselves and repented of the sins in our lives? Beloved congregation, Christ came and cured our spiritual blindness. Therefore, our Christian life must be a life of loving our enemies and should be a life of forgiveness instead of passing judgment on others. That brings us to the deepest reason that we are not to pass judgment upon another person, which is our second point. We're not to pass judgment because we have been forgiven by Jesus. This command to refrain from judgment can be difficult, but we can do this because this is how Jesus himself has treated us. As Jesus would say later on in Luke's gospel, "Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required." Luke 12, verse 48. For us who have received abundant measure of his forgiveness, we also need to forgive others abundantly as well. The abundance of his forgiveness can be seen in the fact that Jesus not only came to forgive sinners, he also came to bring them into the kingdom of God, which, as we have noted earlier, is the kingdom of love and forgiveness. Even though this world is already under the judgment of God as it is corrupted by sin, Jesus, when he came, he did not come to bring judgment. Instead, he came to bring a new reality, a kingdom of grace, love, and forgiveness. And Jesus manifested the loving nature and the forgiving nature of this kingdom clearly in his ministry. Jesus manifested the forgiving nature of the kingdom of God when he healed people of their sicknesses and casted out demons by its divine heavenly power. You can recall that he healed the paralytic in Luke chapter 5, verse 20, by saying, "Men, your sins are forgiven you." This reveals that Satan's power is broken because sin no longer controls this paralytic. Likewise, when demons come out of people, people are freed from Satan's demonic and sinful minions. In fact, behind all of his miracles of love and compassion is his heart of forgiveness, out of which he pardoned the sins of God's people and do good things to them. Although our eyes have never beheld these miracles of forgiveness, yet as we believe in Jesus, we are united to him through his Spirit, and we have ascended spiritually into this kingdom of forgiveness. Therefore, we can't judge others, because if we do, it will be contrary to the very attribute of this kingdom of God, a kingdom of forgiveness. And it is also important for us to remember that judgment is the opposite of forgiveness. And Jesus has tied our forgiveness of others to his forgiveness of us. In verse 37, we see that Jesus said, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." This highlights the fact that as ones who are forgiven by Jesus, we need to forgive others as well. Because for the sake of freeing us from God's judgment, Jesus was judged on our behalf upon the cross. As sinners, we don't even want to be punished for our mistake. We don't even want to undergo fair judgment when we commit a sin. Just as kids, you can know. Kids, you know that even when you eat a whole bunch of candies and sweets that you are not supposed to eat, would you want to be punished for such wrongful actions? Even with a mouth that's full of sugar and candy, perhaps bubble gums, you will cry out, "No, don't tie me out," right? Even when we have made mistakes, we don't want to face judgment. But Jesus, for our sake, he endured judgments that were unfair to him, because those judgments were supposed to fall justly upon ourselves. And to free us from the condemnation of God, he was condemned. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Jesus forgives those who transgress against him, yet he received no forgiveness. As the eternal Son of God, he pardoned the sins of those who sinned against him. And as the God-man Jesus, he forgives the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. Even upon the cross, he was praying, "Father, forgive them for what they do." And to give you mercy, he himself received no mercy. To grant us God's merciful salvation, Jesus was judged upon the cross for our sins with no mercy. Jesus would emphasize this principle again through the parable of the evil servant in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. And he reminds the people that a servant who is pardoned by his master need to pardon others as well. And he would emphasize this in the Lord's Prayer too, where Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Luke 11, verse 4. Everyone who receives the Lord's forgiveness must forgive their brothers from the bottom of their hearts. Please note that the forgiveness of others is not the condition upon which we receive Jesus' forgiveness. As sinful creatures, our righteousness are but filthy rags. We are not in any position to earn reward from God through our own very work, through our merit. Rather, the forgiveness of others is the external fruit and evidence of us receiving forgiveness from Jesus. It reveals that we have been filled with the forgiveness of Jesus to such a degree that it's overflowing out of us and onto other people. It reveals that we are truly united to Jesus and are true citizens of the kingdom of God, because we can't help but forgive others, which is a reflection of Jesus and an attribute of the kingdom which we belong to. And this also assures us that we would have all the benefits of Jesus because we are truly united to him. As verse 38 says, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap." As he fills us with the abundance of his forgiveness, Jesus will also fill us with the abundant amount of his grace, and he will apply his immeasurable benefits to us, his people. At the same time, we see that Jesus warns that judging others indicates that you are under the judgment of God, because judgment is the opposite of forgiveness. If we judge others, it brings into question whether we truly understand the gospel and whether we have truly received the gospel. Because those who judge others are not only blind to their own sins, they are also to be judged by God. And this brings into question if we are truly citizens of that kingdom of forgiveness, if we are truly citizens of that kingdom without judgment, if we are judging other people. Again, why is this important for us to know this evening? This is important for us to know because forgiveness for others, it's a real test of whether we truly understand that we have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Jesus could have said to all those who came to him for healing, "Why are you coming to me? You do not deserve healing. You and your nations have sinned grievously against God. You deserve all these misery and much, much more." And Jesus could have said to all of us, "Why are you coming to me? You idolaters who covet after wealth. You adulterers who look at others with lust. You murderers who hate even your parents. You and your family deserve all this misery because you and your family have sinned grievously against God." But that is not what he said to us. And that is not how Jesus dealt with us. Instead of judging us, Jesus gave us his forgiveness. And as we have passed through judgment, we are no longer to make hasty, vengeful, jealous, and condemning judgments upon others. Instead, we forgive one another as Jesus himself has forgiven us. Beloved congregation, trust in the Lord even in the matter of showing forgiveness and mercy. And also, please refrain from passing judgment. Because mercy triumphs over judgment, and forgiveness reveals the mercy of God, which we have received in abundance. It is only when we forgive one another that we manifest through our lives that the gospel is a gospel where the grace of God transcends the letter of the law. Without the grace of God, the letter of the law would only be a letter that kills. But the gospel we have reveals that this is a gospel of forgiveness. And the commandment of Jesus reveals that he also calls us to forgive one another. Even when we can justly condemn our loved ones for the sins that they have committed against us, sins which cut so deeply to the core of our heart, sin which are so agonizing that cause us to lose sleep at night, Christ calls us to love them and forgive them out of the love and forgiveness that he has given us. And love covers a multitude of sins. Therefore, beloved congregation, judge not. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgave you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, which reminds us that although it is difficult to not pass judgment upon others, but we can do so because Christ has forgiven us abundantly. We pray that you may help us to see clearly the reality of our forgiveness and help us to manifest such wonderful, forgiving gospel through our own very lives, so that others will come to you and bow down to you and ask for forgiveness. We give you thanks, and we pray all these in the name of Jesus, who has forgiven our sins. Amen.